appreciate that last song that we were singing this morning just kind of resonated with me. I hope it did with you. Just the idea or concept that that God's glory would fall on this place. It's not a weird thing when the glory of God falls. It should be an expected thing. And you know, as we were singing that today, I had some different thoughts than I've had before in past times. We hadn't done that song in forever, but I remember singing it before. My mind had a different picture of what I was asking or what I was desiring for God to do. Really, I was desiring for God at that point to do something supernatural that we never get to experience. And this time, I was thinking, God, this is what you always do. You know, he this is God's regular way of operation. It is supernatural because it's God, but it shouldn't be supernatural in the sense that it's something weird for us. We spent this whole weekend. I love the fact that in the last, 7 days, I've been able to talk about abiding from start to finish, in two different settings, from beginning to end. And just how God is, as I'm teaching that, you know, when John taught this, I was sharing this yesterday with new members. When John taught this, John had 50 to 55 years of telling the story over and over again before he ever wrote his gospel. You may not recognize that or have known that, but 50 to 55 years of telling it over and over again, as was the tradition in biblical times, where they were always telling the story orally before they ever wrote it down. And so I'm just thinking, just in this past 7 days, as I've told the story of abiding, of God's intent from before the foundation of the world to walk with us in relationship, and that relationship is one of abiding, of hearing God's voice, understanding what it is he desires for us to do, doing what he tells us to do, and then discovering God by experience through what he does when we obey. That whole concept over and over again through the Bible is taking more meaning to me. God is constantly unfolding more truth related to that. And I love that this is what God's been doing in this body since our beginning. This is no new idea or concept. God has not changed his mind. God has begun something in us, and he is just continuing to grow it in us. And so today, when I'm singing, let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down, you know, we just talked about Acts a couple of weeks ago when that literally they got to see the Holy Spirit and experience the Holy Spirit in that way and watch the Holy Spirit come into each one of them, and he was manifested in them. But it was not a new thing in the sense that God had not begun to work in a way that he had not worked since the beginning, and the purpose had not changed. God's purpose in coming down and coming into them was so that they could then obey what the Spirit told them to do and come to know God in a newer way, in a deeper way. That was the first time the Holy Spirit inhabited the disciples, but it was not a new experience. God was doing this from the beginning. And I was thinking this morning that even in the life of Jesus, Jesus was the glory of God, but he was also, he put himself in the place of a branch and lived as a branch among the disciples, abiding in his Father. And so he was both a branch in his example to the disciples, and then at the close of his life, he says to the disciples, now I'm the vine, you are the branches. And this was finally the place where the disciples understood, okay, he's God. We recognize him as the Messiah. And so you abide in me. And in the same way, the Spirit's going to come and you're going to abide in him. And so when the glory comes down, this is how the glory comes down. Now surely sometimes God comes in this experiential thing that none of us had any prerequisite, no commandment to follow. You know, God didn't speak anything. We didn't do anything. God just comes down and invades our life. But in most cases, that's in the life of a believer who's really either not walking with God on a daily basis, not abiding in him, or a believer who just needs a divine intervention in some miraculous way. And then we're so, our minds are so full of other things, we don't even recognize what God is speaking or telling us to do. But most of the time, if you're going to say, let the fire fall, let the wind, let the fire fall, let the wind blow, let the glory come down. If you want to sing that, and we want to mean that, then I think what we're saying is, God, I'm here today, I'm listening. My ears are open to hear what you have to say. God, I want to see your glory. So how do we see the glory of God? We hear his voice. We're ready. Our hearts are ready to surrender to whatever word God gives us to obey today. Is that where your spirit is today? Is that where your heart is? Are you at a place today where you're saying, God, speak to me in a way that I can understand what you're saying? Because guess what? I'm sitting here in a place of obedience, surrender, waiting. Up on my heels, waiting. I'm ready to surrender to whatever you speak today. Man, if that's true, then we're saying with our lives right now, let the fire fall. Right? Let the wind blow. Let the glory come down. We want to see God for who he is. The only way we're going to see God for who he is, according to Jesus, is for us to obey his commandments, and he reveals himself to us. So let's do it. Man, I'm all for it. I love that. Let's let that song be the song of our hearts today. Let's right now work together to open our hearts up to the Lord, to his word, to say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Holy Spirit, speak to me in a way that I can understand, because I'm sitting on the edge of my seat ready. Now, visibly, physically, you may not be sitting on the edge of your seat. I understand that. But let me just ask you spiritually to sit up to do that. Just in your spirit, sit up. Be on edge today, waiting for God to speak, receiving the word that he gives you today with joy and with an anticipation of your life being transformed today by what you hear from God. That should be every time we get before the word of God, not just when someone speaks it, but every time we get before the word of God, God, speak. Let your glory be revealed to me. I want to see who you are. God's glory is his character, God's name. It's who he is. And we want to see God for who he is. I love the fact that in the close of this time that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room in John chapter 15, at the close of this experience, Jesus prays a prayer. We started talking about that last week. But if you go back and you read this prayer, and I encourage you guys to do that, go back and read it in detail, because I'm just going to touch on a few points from it. You know, we ultimately got to move on to some other books, because there's a lot of books in the Bible other than John. But I love the truth that God's been peeling out of this for us. I mean, there's so much truth, but just understand this today, okay? If nothing else from last week, for those of you who are here and for those of you who weren't, Jesus begins to pray this prayer to his Father. This is the last thing that he says or prays before his disciples before he's arrested. This is the last thing that happens. This is his last way of doing something for the disciples. And he makes it clear in his prayer. He says it. God, Father, I pray this in front of the disciples. I'm praying this now on the earth so that they can share in the joy. They can take joy in this fact. Watch. Here's what they took joy in. Jesus had already told them, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it will be done. So all of us need to hang on the edge of our seats for the words that Jesus prays in this passage. Because in this passage he says, he is praying as one who is abiding in the Father, and the Father is abiding in him, and his word is abiding in him. So whatever Jesus prays in this passage, you can claim for your life. There's no doubt. Jesus is praying, and it will happen for you as a disciple. He prays for those who will believe. That's us. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for those who will believe. And he prays the same thing. And so this prayer is beautiful, because the things that he prays here are for us. But all he's doing in this prayer is it's like he preached a sermon that night, but he did it in activity, right? Because he did all this stuff of washing their feet and dealing with the pain that they were feeling, the trouble that they were feeling about him going away, and them, you know, helping them to understand the future and have hope, helping them to understand how to serve when he's gone. I mean, and then he has this beautiful supper with them where he it's not recorded in the book of John, but where he opens up so many different things in that supper. The supper's covered, but not all the details. But he covers this beautiful picture of changing the meaning of the Passover from what it was to Israel to now what it is for them and for us. It's a beautiful experience. And then he prays the same prayer. So it's just like at the end of the service, usually I pray a prayer, and I repeat what we just heard from the Word and ask God to do that in our lives. And Jesus is doing that. He's praying for him right now. He prays for himself for these final acts of obedience that will manifest the glory of God for the disciples. These final acts of obedience that will manifest the glory of God for his disciples. He's praying that way. And then he prays some beautiful things that they need to hear him pray out loud that will give them confidence as they begin to minister after the Holy Spirit comes. So we're going to pick up again in the prayer. We're just going to go for a few minutes this morning and pull out a few truths. And then we are going to use some of these truths this morning as we pray over some children in our church who are going to be dedicated this morning. And I want us to share the challenge that the Lord gives us in this passage today. It's not by accident that we fall here today as we're about to dedicate these babies. I think it's significant. I think this is a significant word, not only for the parents of these children and for their families that are here today, but for us as a body who are committing to helping these children to learn how to abide in the Holy Spirit. And so I hope you'll hear these words as we continue to read the prayer of Jesus. In John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the people. I have shown your glory. I have revealed who you are, right, to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. All right, just real quickly. Here's the cycle, right? Jesus is praying the cycle. He's thanking God for what he did through his life. He says, you gave them to me. Right? He takes no credit for the disciples coming to him. He gives all the credit to God. He is totally dependent upon the Father. He has revealed that over and over again in the book of John, in this story. And so he says, you gave them to me. This is your work. It's not mine. And he says, I have given them the words that you gave me. So Jesus gave them, watch, over here, gave them the words that the Father gave him. Right? Everybody with me? So here's Jesus giving them the words that the Father gave them. That's all my role is at this point. What I'm trying to do is give you the words the Father gives me. So Jesus did that. And then it says they received him. Literally, that word in the Greek means that they took it, they took these words into themselves. This is different from those who believed, but Jesus did not entrust himself to them, right? There are some that believed, but they didn't receive his words. There were very few who really received the words that Jesus gave them. As hard as we've been looking in the book of John, as hard as Jesus, as much investment rather, as he made in the Jewish people to try to help them to see who he was as Messiah, the Son of God, they didn't receive that. But these disciples that he prays for did. They received his word. You, as disciples today, are here and have hopefully received the truth about who Jesus is, that he is the Messiah. So this prayer is for you. And Jesus is saying, they have received the word. So not only did they hear it, they have taken it in and made it a part of their lives, which means they have believed it and they have acted on it. Everybody got that? Jesus is saying they have, not only have they heard it, I gave them the words and then they received them. That's this portion right here where they received the word that God gave them and they are now acting on that word. It's a part of their life. It's changed who they are. As a result, he says that they came to know in truth who Jesus was. And you see the transition now. what he's saying is because they received the word, because they took it into their lives, in other words, they began to act and live on that word. They adjusted their lives to walk with Jesus. They left their vocations. They left their families. They left their futures, and they walked with Jesus. And as a result of that, walking in obedience to him, they came to know in truth by the experiences that they had with Jesus that he was the Son of God. They came to know that he came from God. And so Jesus is praying the cycle here. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for those, for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. We talked about that last week. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, here we go. Here's some prayers that we need to hold on to. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name. Jesus is praying as if he's already gone. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given to me. I have guarded them, that not one of them may be lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Y'all still awake this morning and say, oh yeah, a few more words. Listen, Jesus prayed for us. This is what he prayed. He prayed that the Father would keep us in his name. He just described what it means to be in his name. To receive glory, or for God to receive glory through our lives. Keep them in your name. In other words, keep them in this process that where they are hearing your word from the Holy Spirit now, and they are obeying and living and abiding in you, and they're walking in you. Keep them in that. Father, they've done this while I'm on the earth, but now I'm going away, so you keep them in this. How does God keep us in that? Jesus told them already. The Holy Spirit will come. He will guide you to all truth, and he will take what is mine and give it to you, and he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is now doing what Jesus did. He is giving the words of God to us. He's the one that takes the Bible, the scripture, and he opens up the truth that we need to apply to our lives. And so he's saying, Father, keep them in this cycle so that they will continue to come to know who you are by what you do when they obey you. Father, keep them in that cycle. God, Jesus prayed that for us, guys. Listen. I want that in my life. Do you? If you want that, say, oh yeah. I want the Holy Spirit to continue to answer the prayer of Jesus. I know that Jesus' prayer will be answered. I want it answered in my life. I want to take down every wall, every piece of resistance, every fixation that I tend so quickly to find myself in of gaining more knowledge or living my life by rules that Kevin beautifully spoke this morning. Or quoted Paul, I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to lock myself into this list of rules anymore. I'm free from that. I'm free to do this, to hear the Holy Spirit speak the truth to me from the word, and then to experience him as I obey. I want that. Man, I want more and more of that in my life. That's the fruit. The fruit is what he shows us about himself as he takes control when we obey. That's the fruit that changes my life. That's the fruit that's going to change the world around us when they see in us the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. So he says, keep them in that. I love that. Jesus is praying for us that the Father will cause us to abide, to continue to abide. Then in verse 13, he says, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In other words, it's the joy that I'm feeling right now as I speak these words. The disciples were having that same joy because they knew, all right, Jesus is praying this for us, guys. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They got to hear him pray it out loud so that they could know. They could have joy in this prayer. That's why he prayed it while he was in the world and prayed it over them so they could feel it like we should be feeling it this morning. This is Jesus praying for us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth, in the truth. Your word is truth. So three things he says for us, and I just want us to embrace this prayer today, guys. Look, remember, our position in abiding is one of surrender. It's waiting. It's clinging. It's anticipation. It is passive, active. Active, passive. right? Because we're not just sitting around lollygagging and wanting, you know, just kind of doing life. Man, we are so on our, again, on our edge of our seats, waiting, listening, but not moving ahead of God and not fixating on anything, but just, God, just continue to show us yourself. And so he prays this prayer for us. And in this, he says these things. He says, first of all, keep them in the world. Right? That's kind of a surprising statement. These guys got it. Why doesn't he just take them to heaven? That wasn't the prayer of Jesus. He said, keep them in the world. And I know, guys, there's a lot of times when we want out, right? We want out of the world. Get me out of here. I've had enough of this. But remember, Jesus prayed that we would stay in the world. Those of us that believe in him, that know him, that abide in him, he prays that we would stay in the world. Don't take them out of the world. Keep them in the world. So quit trying to get out of your world. Quit trying to get out of the places where God has you. Embrace this prayer of Jesus and stay where you are. You know, I know a lot of Christians who are always trying to get out of secular environments. You know, get me out of this secular environment because I can't do my Christian life the way I want to. But you can. You can abide in Christ in any environment. And it's significant to me that Jesus prayed this. We're fixing to launch a whole new focus for this next year. And it's on being sent. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but I know the Lord gave me that. But we need to be, we're sending church. We need to be sent. We need to be, as we talked about this year in our gather focus, we need to be dispersed into the world. We don't need to be hanging out together. We need to be dispensing ourselves into the world, to be in the world. Jesus says, don't take them out of it. But while they're in the world, while they're abiding in me and I'm teaching them even through the good and the bad, through all the circumstances of life, really, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, for me, the place that I'm experiencing God the most is in the world. It's in my relationship with people who are not believers. I'm seeing God work, and it's amazing to me that as I rest in him, as I surrender, as I'm ready and on the edge of my seat, all the doors that God is opening, all the things that God is doing. I encourage you, man, let's stay in the world, but let's also embrace these prayers that Jesus gives us, right? The next two, he says, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the evil one. Now, does that mean that the evil one has a hand up on us? No, but he's the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's crafty, he's sneaky, he's a liar. He tempts us in our old nature to continue to walk in our old nature. He tries to steal and kill and destroy. That's what he does. And so he's saying keep them from following. Keep them from moving outside of this abiding circle and moving into the world and connecting like Israel did with idols of the world. Keep them away from that. Keep them from the evil one. In other words, keep their determination strong enough that when the evil one attacks, they resist. And the scripture promises as we resist the devil, he will what? He will flee from us. So he doesn't have a hand up on us. Jesus says, you know, that we're going to be in the world, but he says not to fret, not to worry, not to be discouraged or troubled because he has overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation in this world, but he's overcome. So the world's defeated as far as we're concerned. But Jesus is praying for us, and I want that prayer be true in my life, that Father, let the prayer of Jesus happen for me. Let the prayer of Jesus be true for me, that I continue to abide in you and resist the temptations of the evil one. That's all he has is temptation in the life of a believer. So help me to resist. Help me to choose the way of escape and to walk in that instead of letting the evil one have his way in my life and cause me to move away from obedience and even hearing what you say because I'm not invested in that anymore and I'm off on some tangent. But keep me abiding in you so that I can continue to know more about you to the point where, with Paul, I'm saying, I consider everything else to be rubbish compared to knowing you in every way. Power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering. I want to know you. And then the last prayer he prays is, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. The words that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the word that God has given us in the written word that we get to read in these beautiful letters that were written from that time on, other letters that were written, all of the words that God gave to anointed men to write for us, his word, the word that the Holy Spirit will speak to us moment by moment as we abide in him. Never in contradiction, always in consistency with the word that's written. But we don't always get God's the word that we need for every moment from the written word. We don't carry the Bible with us and in every decision say, okay, what decision do I need to make? Good thing I have my Bible with me today. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit does that. He lives in us and he brings to our remembrance the word. And he teaches us all things and he guides us to all truth. So we're immersing ourselves in the word of God and we're moment by moment sensitive to the Spirit of God. And because of that, we are being sanctified. The word is sanctifying us. We're being changed right now. This body is being changed as we respond to the word of God. As we continue to hear the word and make application to our lives, we are being transformed, sanctified. Because when we see the glory of God, immediately a heart that's been changed and transformed desires to be like God. Now, we can't be completely like God. But there will be a day, and John talks about this in 1 John chapter 3. We can't be like God now, but John says this. He says, in that day, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. It's just the sight, just the sight of who God really is that causes a believer whose heart's been transformed and his ways maybe are a little bit shaky. When we see God for who he is, that God transforms us and causes us to want to be like him. And so it should be the case that that we would be immediately, as soon as we see God as a God of grace, that we become grace to people. That as soon as we see God as God of love, we become love to people, selfless love. As soon as we see patience, we become patient with people. What's our only hindrance in that? This right here. It's these bodies that are not yet transformed, right? It constantly fights. That old pattern that I live in, those old habits that I live in, that anger that I used to have, doesn't come from within me anymore, but Satan riles that stuff up. But one day when we see him, which will be in his resurrection, and we get resurrected bodies, and this hindrance is gone, then we will be like him. Everything that we desire we'll have, we'll be like him. Because we'll see him as he is. We can't see him as he is. We have all these distractions, but one day we will. Till that day comes, it's day by day, moment by moment, Jesus prayed that this would happen, that the Holy Spirit would use the word, would speak the word to us, would reveal the truth to us, would give us commands to obey, and through our obedience, he would show us who he really is, and that would change us. Sanctified. Jesus prayed that we'd be sanctified. I want to embrace that today. I want to embrace that in my life. I want you guys to embrace that in your life. That we would today be able to say, yes, I want the prayer of Jesus in my life. I want this to be true for me. And so today I'm going to ask you guys for a second as we close to pray this way. If you'll bow your heads and just think of these things. And if you're a dedicating baby today and you don't have that baby with you, you can go ahead and get that baby now. Because you're going to get this challenge again here in just a minute. Would you pray with me this morning? Let me ask you a question. Are you ready today to be able to say to God from your heart, and I know that your ways may not be here yet, that your activity may not reflect this, but from your heart, can you say today that you feel the Spirit leading you to agree with this prayer of Jesus where he said, Father, keep them in your name? In other words, would you be willing to say, Father, I want the prayer of Jesus answered in my life, that I would abide in you. That I would abide in you and have the progressive understanding of the glory of your name. That I would have a progressive understanding of who you are by experience. and that my love would deepen for you. Would you agree with that prayer this morning? If so, just say, yes, God, I want that. Would you this morning be willing to say, God, I know you are keeping me in the world for a reason. And so I'm here as one who abides in you. Show yourself to the world through me. Would you say that this morning? If so, say yes, God, I want that. Would you be willing today to say, Lord, I want to be kept from the evil one, and I beg for that prayer to be answered in my life, that prayer that Jesus prayed, one who was abiding in you and whose word was abiding in you, in him. I want that prayer to be kept in my life, that, Father, you would keep me from the evil one. I'm not strong enough. Just make me aware, and I'm going to sit on the edge of my seat, Father, and break those sins out of my life. Take these strongholds out. I need your spirit to empower me. I want to know you, and these things are keeping me from knowing you. So, Lord, keep me from the evil one. And then finally this morning, would you say to the Lord, I want the prayer of Jesus that I be sanctified by the word. I want that to come true in my life. In other words, today, Father, I want to invest in that. I want to set the stage for that. I want to be reading your word, immersing myself in the word, and being sensitive to the Spirit, abiding in you so that I can be sanctified, so that I can know you for who you really are and be changed, and that the desire of my heart to be like you will be completed as I see you for who you are. Father, today we pray these prayers with Jesus. We claim these prayers for our lives. Would you change our hearts today, God? Would you come in and do these things? Keep us in your name. Lord, help us to allow you to move through us in the world. Keep us from the evil one and sanctify us in the truth. And your word is truth. And we praise you for that you're going to answer these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.